The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? You are listening to the HSP AEW Dynamite Recap Show on the unofficial WWE podcast. I am Jeff Martin alongside my tag team partner, the Trendsetter. Follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. We are on bodyslam.net, and we are back to recap another week of AEW. What is going on, Trendsetter? How you doing, man? How's your week going?
How am I doing? Forget about my week, Jeff. Forget about my weekend coming up. Right now, it is a celebration. It is
because my birthday is this
exactly
week.
No, nothing to do with that. We all know you're getting older. We all know you're jerking the curtain, Jeff. What we're talking about is tag team wrestling. The one thing I love more than anything, I've watched it growing up. I've continued watching it. I love the art form. I love the psychology of tag team wrestling. It was a dedication to that tonight.
It is a Tag Team Appreciation Day. Woo, 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 woo. You ready, Trendsetter? You ready?
What the hell's wrong with you?
I'm a little excited, man. We got Tag Team Appreciation Night. We got my birthday coming up, man. So much stuff going on in AEW. And I'll tell you what. We were here last week doing the recap for SmackDown, right? So coming here every Wednesday is so pleasurable, Trendsetter, that you know what? I'm just always in a good mood. Let me tell you something. AEW makes even debuting referees something big. So that's how good they're doing. But let's get started. We got the Young Bucks teaming up, and they're going up against the Dark Order, Stu Grayson and Evil Uno. And what a way to kick things off here, Trendsetter, on Tag Team Appreciation Day.
Well, a great way to start off with the Young Bucks. And again, the Dark Order, there seems to be a rivalry going on between the Elite and the Dark Order. You know, what's going on? We talked about it last week. Storylines seem to be intertwining. Where does FTR fit in this? Where does the Dark Order? Where the hell is Colt Cabana in all this, really? It's like, that's what the biggest question mark of this entire thing. Hangman Page, where's his loyalty? Where's his allegiance hang? Pun intended. And Kenny Omega is another mystery, too. What is going on in that mind? It seems like he is getting ready to snap at any second. But yes, no better way to start off but with these two teams right now for Tag Team Appreciation. And what a match it was. Again, we have the Young Bucks on there, and you know, hats off to their opponents, as I call them right now, because you know you're going to get your money's worth from the Young Bucks. That's what you're
going
to get.
Yeah, if not the arguably the best tag team right now going. So, in my eyes, they're definitely a top five tag team, very much an innovative team. And you know, you're right, John. So you're going to get your money's worth. And here was the case where the Young Bucks were able to get the outsmart and get the best of the Dark Order as Nick Jackson got the roll of victory. But there's, you know, a huge scrum. And let's be honest, right now the Young Bucks are kind of finding themselves in a little bit of a groove, and just shortly, if not, you know, more sooner than later, finally getting that mix for the tag team division. They've been really much kind of like, since they've gotten there, really kind of put in the back burner. But now I feel like with teams like FTR in the mix, I don't know what's going on with the Lucha Bros. But I think right now AEW really needs the emergence of the Young Bucks as the top tag team. And with FTR, I just cannot wait till we get that rivalry. But as well, too, let's not forget that with Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, there also seems to loom an eventual matchup there down the road.
Oh, yeah, and that's the matchup I think everybody wants to see. Everybody's looking forward to it. Will we get it all out? I don't know, but that's definitely a match that is money. It's dollar signs right around it no matter what. But again, I don't want to take anything away from Stu Grayson and Evil Uno. I mean, did a great job competing with the Young Bucks. I mean, they're another showcase, a little glimmer of the tag team division, how deep it is in this company, AEW, right now. You know, we talked about not just last week, but many weeks ago, Jeff, about when you have a new promotion or when you're just literally trying to put shows out on a consistent basis, who are your workhorses? What is the staple? What is the identity of your brand. And to me, AEW, the identity of their brand right now is tag team wrestling. It's always going to steal the show, in my opinion. It's always going to be that mark where you're going to start the show with it. You might as well end the match with it. And then a little bit intermission, you put a little bit in there, too, to balance the show out, too. Because, like I said, we've talked about it, that it feels like a variety show. There's so many things to look forward to. If things aren't your cup of tea, you can always watch tag team wrestling and at least walk away entertained.
And I get the feeling, too, like you're talking about, that they don't put it in a segment where, like, oh, my God, another tag team match. They know how to disperse it. They know how to move it along in the card and stuff like that.
Don't get me wrong. Sometimes it does feel a little bit overused, but when we have a scenario like this where that's the focal point of the show, then it doesn't become such a huge thing. Like, oh, here go another tag team match. That's the point of it, basically.
So let's get this out of the way right now. They asked Kenny Omega what is – With the whole theme being tag team appreciation, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was his favorite tag team? He said it was the Young Bucks. Hangman Page said themselves, which is true. I mean,
I love that answer. I love that answer.
I know. He's a cocky cowboy, man. That's
not just a cocky cowboy. He's just confident. He's just confident about himself, and that's what we were talking about, Jeff, right? Mm-hmm. How long have we been thinking to ourselves, man, Adam Page, he's got this it factor about him. When is he going to realize it? He's realized it, and he knows he has it. Not to steal a phrase from Jericho, but that's basically what he does. He walks around, now with a chip on his shoulder, he walks around as if he owns the damn room, and that's what I liked about it.
So who is your favorite tag team of all time?
The first thing that pops into my head are the Hart Foundation.
Yeah.
They've always been one of my favorite teams because I just love the combination, Jeff, when, you know, let's look at Matt and Nick, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Two very similar individuals, do very similar things.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, what I love about tag team wrestling is that you always have that ability of having polar opposites be together. Let's look at Adam and Kenny. Let's look at FTR. You could look at Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson, right? You could look at even the Rock and Roll Express, who were part of this event too. What I loved about the Hart Foundation is you had the technical prowess of a guy like Bret the Hitman Hart, but then you had the power and the size of Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And to me, that was just an awesome combination because, again, it allowed you to know that not one person was dependent on the other. Not one person could do the exact same thing. You couldn't ask Jim the Anvil Neidhart to be a technical technician in the ring and have Bret Hart do the opposite. Each one were a focal point of the team, which is what made them successful.
And while you say the Hart Foundation, right, there's so many teams. I mean, there's a point where, I like the Rockers.
Yeah, I don't really think you can get wrong with this.
Like Demolition, British Bulldogs. But I go back to
the
like
Road
those,
Warriors, Legion back, of Doom.
I go back to the 80s and 90s where there was kind of like, you know, who's who of tag team wrestlers, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like the golden age of tag team wrestling. And I know that right now the Young Bucks and FTR and them are trying to bring that golden age back because, let's be honest, WWE does not value their tag teams. It's kind of like an afterthought. The closest they do ever put tag teams together is when they are double champions and you have them winning the tag team title just to fuel into the rivalry, I believe. They don't really have plans. They don't have future plans for tag team champions. And I think what AEW is doing is they have future plans for these champions. And it's just a joy to be able to watch good tag team wrestling. So circling back to what my favorite tag team was, I'm going to say it was, man.
It doesn't have to be growing up. It doesn't have to be growing up.
I'm going to say that my favorite tag team were
Killer Bees.
The Killer Bees. Hey, kudos to them, too.
The Killer Bees. The Rougeau Brothers.
The Rougeau Brothers, man.
The British Bulldogs.
The Bushwhackers.
The Bushwhackers.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Bulldogs, like I said, Dynamite and Davey Boy, mm-hmm. They're a great tag team.
I'm going to go with the Rockers.
Okay.
They never got that run with the tag team titles, right? They would have had the ring not broken on that
Saturday night's main event, I believe it was. Yeah, exactly. The ring, the whole backstory was the ring broke. Mm-hmm. They won the titles, but it was just so brutal that you couldn't really have a match with that top rope.
Even Harlem Heat was cool. Remember Harlem?
Harlem
Heat was cool.
Oh, they were definitely unique.
I
mean, again, you talk about the golden age of tag team wrestling. I mean, we could bring teams like we just mentioned before. The Rock and Roll Express is probably one of the most well-known teams from that era.
Arn Anderson and a
partner he had. He mm-hmm. was always great, and he was always mainly to me the focal point of the team. Although he had with the other Anderson, Ole Anderson, who was
the Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
Not a nice guy. I was gonna say another word,
no relation to the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
No, not at all. But to me, like, You talk about the golden age, right? You just mentioned. But to me, I think now more than ever, I don't think the teams like the Young Bucks or like the Hardy Boys during their time, or even teams like FTR, or if you look at the WWE in terms of the teams they have there, I don't think any of them, well, I hope none of them want to compare themselves to that golden age and want to bring it back. I would hope they want to say, hey, listen, let's create our own age of tag team wrestling, mm-hmm. because as we know, like the Jim Cornettes and the Dave Meltzers, you know, and the Rip Rogers, right? You know, they're like, you know, these flips and these dives and these super kicks have no meaning behind. There's no selling. You know, there's a huge dynamic there where like there's a huge line in the middle, and either you're on the side of the tag team wrestling or the type of wrestling we're seeing nowadays, or you're not. And there, a lot of people are like, well, there's no selling. A lot of the moves don't make sense, but it's entertaining. I remember, Jeff, we watched All Out in Chicago, and that match between Lucha Bros and the Young Bucks, All Out. It was, like, ridiculous, and you're like, a lot of that stuff wasn't necessary, but that's the day and age we live in, too, and either you evolve with it doesn't necessarily mean it's the right thing, because mm-hmm. everybody's entitled to their opinion, but this is the day and age of the type of wrestling, especially tag team wrestling, we're seeing nowadays. And, you know, back to the past.
How about the Steiner Brothers?
Steiner Brothers, yeah. Definitely, exactly. You know, those are teams that, you know, were meticulous. There was a lot of story behind it. Nowadays, not so much story, so they have to substitute that with the crazy spots that they do.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can't go wrong, but I think that AEW trying to focus on the tag team division is really what set them apart from a lot of wrestling companies, mm-hmm. and I think that's what they continue to thrive with, because you got to admit that their tag team division is probably the deepest in all pro wrestling right now.
And to me, it's the equivalent of what WCW was back then. Who were their workhorses? Mm-hmm. It was the Cruiserweight division. Yes, you went to see Piper and Hogan in the main event, or even Goldberg go through a guy in 10 seconds. But would you watch the beginning of every review? What was it? Dean Malenko versus Rey Mysterio for the Cruiserweight title. Or is the middle Guerrero versus Mysterio? Jushin Thunder Liger and, you know, Jericho. You just name a couple. Those were the names out there that were the workhorses that kept, in my opinion, that company going way before, you know, obviously the NWO and all those factions started coming the cool thing to do. The backbone of WCW was the Cruiserweight division. The backbone of AEW is their tag team division.
How about the Hollywood Blondes? And I'm throwing it.
Yes.
Out there,
oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Oh, my God.
Stunning Steve Austin and Brian Pillman, man. Another thing with politics and wrestling, right? They were so ahead in terms of what they were doing. And a lot of people who were old timers were kind of, you know, not for that. And so they got cut off way sooner than they should have been. But there was a lot of potential there with the Hollywood Blondes.
So MJF is in campaign mode as he approaches his biggest matchup of his career, most likely at All Out. It will be him and Jon Moxley for the AEW World Championship. And listen, it's obviously the polls don't lie. Right now, MJF is clearly ahead of Jon Moxley by a lot. It's a landslide.
Well, from the last presidential election, Jeff, we know the polls can be easily manipulated.
Polls don't lie.
And they don't mean anything
polls
to the end result.
Polls don't lie.
Exactly.
So people
think this is going to be a landslide of MJF are, you know, sorely mistaken. Hey, I'm a huge fan of MJF, but if they think this is going to be a cakewalk against a guy that's very unpredictable like Jon Moxley, they've got another thing coming.
Yeah, and MJF continues to deliver with his promos. Like I said, give him the damn ball and watch him run with it and score a touchdown every time. Another great promo talking about how, you know, Jon Moxley, the right thing to do would be to give the title to MJF. Of course he's going to say that. He's ultimate heel mode. And you know what? Moxley didn't have to wait for All Out. He comes out, he blindsides MJF, gives him the paradigm shift. MJF dealing with a little bit of a neck injury, selling it really well. Wardlow kind of like goes to 10 to him. And we are seeing the beginning stages now with All Out being a few weeks away now, where we're setting up that
feud. Don't say
feud.
That, Jeff. I'm looking forward to All Out, but I don't want to think about September right now. Come on, let me enjoy the last final week of summer.
Oh, man. What's that song, Earth, Wind, and Fire, September? Oh, mm-hmm. It's a great song, but I the summer has gone by way, 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 way too fast. So going back to this now, are you intrigued by the by the storyline so far? Is it catching your eye? Are you not interested yet? Are you waiting to see a little bit more of interaction between MJF? You got a lot of interaction here, but are you still waiting to see, or have you gotten involved in this matchup and are you looking forward to it coming up Labor Day weekend in for All Out? I'm not going to say Chicago. I'm not sure if it's going to be in Chicago, but are you getting excited for All Out in the main event?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's twofold here, Jeff. From a business standpoint, yes. It's exciting. It's intriguing from where they're going and how they're doing it and how they're promoting it in terms of, you know, they're looking for change or we deserve better than Jon Moxley. Yes. From a storyline standpoint, it makes sense. It's intriguing. And I'm sure people's general audience can understand and relate to it because, again, you have a lot of things like the presidential election and things of that nature, and we deserve better, and let's make wrestling better again type of scenarios. Cool. That's all relatable. But for me, I don't really need that because just the ability of MJF and his knack, his what, how can I say it, his ability to naturally want you to hate him, it's a gift. It really is. And very few people that I can remember, and the only person I can really remember, and it makes a lot of sense because MJF had spoken before way back then during the indie scene how a guy like Rowdy Piper was one of his idols. A guy like Rowdy Piper is the kind of guy that, yeah, you could love him, but at the same time, you would love to jump that rail and destroy him because he would get you so mad and riled up, especially during those times in the NWA and, you know, during, you know, the territories, and especially in the WWE when he, you know, knocked the coconut in Snuka's face. And, my God, yeah. People wanted to destroy him, especially the heat he had with Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 81. A lot of that stuff I equivalent to MJF, and I'm sure that's done on purpose because, again, you know, his philosophy is less is more. You don't need to do all the high-flying spots, although he could. He chooses not to do it. He's just a technician. And the biggest skill that lacks nowadays, Jeff, in pro wrestling, and this any promotion, I'm not just talking about AEW now. I'm talking about WWE, you know, Ring of Honor, Impact, New Japan, whatever. If you need a translator for New Japan, good luck. Your ability to sell people in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to sell them without even doing anything physical, that's a gift. And that's what MJF's done for me. Since the moment he walked in during All In, yeah. And before AEW even was a thing, from that moment, that crowd reaction, I knew this guy had something. And then the way it's transcended over here, and now with the momentum that Jon Moxley had ever since he joined AEW, it shows not one or two in terms of polar opposites. It's not really saying, you know, I'm what a champion should look like and you're not Jon Moxley, because we've seen that story before. It's just that we deserve something better, and I am better than you type of mentality, and I kind of like that. And MJF, you know, as much as Jon Moxley, you know, does great promos, I think a lot of this and this buildup has to put a lot of it on MJF because he's the one that sold it. He's the one that people are going to pay if we were going to get arena
butt kicked, right?
To pay the pay-per-view or go to arena to see him get his ass kicked.
So the TNA Championship finally got a makeover, finally is in the spinning image of what Cody wanted to see, and it looks pretty decent, I'm not going to lie. It looks good around his waist. That, let's be honest, that title was made for him. He's really making that title right now. And he got a really step up in opponent this week with Scorpio Sky.
How dare you insult the other opponents that faced
well,
him?
Well, listen, it just is. It's just facts. And Scorpio Sky gave it one hell of an effort.
Yeah.
I mean, here's somebody.
Was this a match you were looking forward to?
No, I was looking forward to Jericho and Cassidy. But
okay.
Again, this is one of the matches. It's probably the second one for me because, like I said, it was going to be a step up in opponent and quality opponent for Cody. Let's be honest. It's the truth. This is the kind of guy that matches up well with Cody, actually, though, because this is somebody that, you know, Cody's familiar with in Scorpio Sky, and it's a very, very good match. Really, there were times here where you thought that, you know, they might pull the trigger and Scorpio Sky would not be a bad choice to be a TNT champion. So, you know, that's awesome. But we also saw the debut of Mike Chioda because can we get a little Mike Chioda chant?
Mike Chioda.
So, you know, even a referee making his debut in AEW has some significance because he was with the WWE for the longest time and he was let go because of the whole COVID pandemic. And now he finds himself in AEW in a high-profile match. It would not be the last time we would see Mike Chioda tonight, but a high-profile match. Mike Chioda has been in tons of them. He's a very, very popular referee, and again, he's known as as the WWE guy. But now he's on AEW in a big match here. And just Trendsetter, your thoughts on this match and how it went, because Scorpio Sky, you could honestly say, would be one of the top guys that you say, hey, I wouldn't mind seeing him as a TNT champion, but very, very, very close. Two crossroads proved to be too much in the win. Cody was able to get off the victory here, but another impressive victory by Cody. But I'm going to give kudos to Scorpio Sky, because he's a guy that I want to see him featured more, because this is a guy that has a lot of potential to be a future champion down the road.
Jeff, what is the main thing that we always look forward to in anything that we look for in terms of when we watch a show or watch pro wrestling? What do we want to see? We want to see that next guy. Who's the possible next person in line? Because as much as we love our favorites, we wish they could, as they chant, wrestle forever, fight forever. It's not possible. Here's the thing that AEW does better, I feel like, anybody else. And again, it's not that they don't have their flaws, but I feel they do this better than anyone right now currently. They have the ability of taking a guy who's well-established in Cody. And I'm sure people who watch Cody on AEW are thinking, oh, well, he was in WWE, or he's the son of Dusty Rhodes. They look at Chris Jericho, et cetera, et cetera. But look at Cody, and let's talk about the TNT Championship and what it's been trying to establish, in the sense of being that workhorse title, being similar to, you know, we have to compare it to the Intercontinental title and what it was back then, as we talk about the tag team appreciation, back to the golden age of wrestling, where the Intercontinental title was the indication that this was going to be the next person that could possibly become the world champion. Now that Cody is the TNT champion, he's holding that belt to a higher level, taking on all comers. But again, it showcased not only the young and up-and-coming talent of AEW that we saw Cody defend against, but a guy like Scorpio Sky. Again, it all relates back to tag team wrestling. Has been a huge focal point of SCU, right? Now SCU seems to be taking a break, a little hiatus from each other, and now Scorpio Sky, similar to like maybe a Big E in WWE, has now had the ability to kind of showcase and show the world what he's all about. Had a great showing with Chris Jericho not too long ago when he fought for the AEW Championship, and people were like, whoa, look at this guy. Now he has an opportunity to face Cody Rhodes and, again, showcase himself even more. I don't have to kind of kiss Cody's butt anymore. We've already given him accolades and adulation in terms of all he's done to build up that title and what he's done to make other guys look great. And he didn't need to make Scorpio Sky look great. He's an amazing athlete, but now the only thing left from Scorpio Sky is we know he can get it done the ring, but now can he connect to that audience? But now this little glimmer of a preview in terms of what Scorpio Sky could be will be intriguing enough that people are going to be interested and want to see him progress to get that singles title.
Yeah, because I saw Scorpio Sky on social media doing some stupid videos, dancing videos with Ali and Sonny Kiss. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, you know, he needs to be used his full potential. I kind of think maybe a little bit SCU, although people say, hey, this is why he became popular. But I think towards the end, I really believe that SCU was kind of bringing him down a little bit, you know? It was just that kind of feeling. And it's good to see him on his own, and I'm looking forward to see what the future lies for Scorpio Sky, but definitely it belongs in the ring. We need to see more of Scorpio Sky. I know they only got 2 hours
on. Now, is he a believable champion?
Yeah, I really do.
When you
I
see
really
Scorpio
do.
Sky and what he can do in the ring, we've seen a little bit of his personality in the microphone. Could you see him as a future TNT champion?
I really could. So that if they had gone with Scorpio Sky here, which, you know, it was very minimal that they would have here, but here's a guy that I would be totally for and would be convinced that he would make a great TNT champion. So Private Party gets asked who their favorite wrestlers are. The Hardy Boys are their choices. Matt and Jeff Hardy, of course. If you're an Attitude Era person, that's going to be another name that you mentioned too as well. The Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian in that era too with the table matches. You know, you can't go wrong if you say the Hardy Boys too, which also led to a Matt Hardy promo backstage talking about he is 10 days away from being able to compete in the ring. He's just going to bide his time for Sammy G, Sammy Guevara. And boy, I'm telling you, man, if you keep looking back at that spat or that scuffle between Matt Hardy and that chair that was thrown by Sammy Guevara, man, that came close from really doing some damage.
It really did, and thankfully it didn't, but also at the same time, some of the worst accidents and mistakes are sometimes the greatest you know, greatest things you can use in terms of making something feel real and creating that realism behind it, and can actually create magic as well at the same time. So although I don't think it was intentional, they make it out to be that way, it's the best thing that could have happened now, because it makes you think, whoa, that was really close. You know, if I was Matt Hardy, I'd be really annoyed with him right now. I wonder what's going to happen. Can they keep professional? You know they're going to, because they're two professionals. But ultimately, it brings that intrigue now that maybe it shows, especially without even trying to do that, it showcased a more grittier, a darker side of Sammy Guevara. Instead of him walking out as the sexy Spanish god and flaunting his little small pectoral muscles, as I call it, and yes, he's got an 8-pack out. Well, congratulations. Got an 8-pack. Good. Where's the rest of it? But, it showcases a different side of Sammy that you need to evolve, because it's always about evolving and showcasing you can be this type of guy. You could be that street fighter brawler, not just a pretty face. And I think, you know, it did that, and ultimately I think what will happen between Matt and him will showcase the fact that Sammy Guevara is going to get to that next level in terms of being that butt kicker that we want to see.
And you said Guevara or Guevara?
Guevara.
Guevara. That's true. Sheeta defeats
Sammy G for short.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I say Sammy G. Sheeta defeats Heather Monroe via submission.
Good to see Heather Monroe.
In AEW Women's Match.
We had it on the High Spot podcast.
Women's Match, if I can speak proper English. Yeah. That's right. She's the former guest on the show. She fought Nia Jax, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so she was on Raw, and we had her on the show, talked about that experience. Too good to see her on AEW TV. Hey, man, it's really simple here in the AEW Women's Division. The Tag Team Cup or whatever their tournament is, it's on YouTube. It's on, you know, it's not on the main show. You're basically getting one women's match per show on AEW. Right now, there is no reason to put more matches on there. Obviously, it's clearly a little bit of a struggle right now in that division. They're trying to make stars. I get it. But Sheeta right now, the only main threat right now with Chris Statlander out, with Britt Baker still on the injured list, Big Swole still coming, in her own. Right now, the biggest threat is Nyla Rose.
No, you're right, Jeff. It is Nyla Rose. And, you know, for me, that's the match to make. But again, right now you have to build depth in this women's division right now. That's something you don't have. You like some of the acquisitions they've made, and hopefully they're showcased a little bit more during the tag team tournament. But right now, that's what's lacking in this division is depth. But again, Nyla Rose is the only foreseeable or believable competitor right now for the women's title.
More tag team action. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. It is Tag Team Appreciation Day.
Whoa.
They defeat Lucha Express. Another impressive victory by Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. But I will say this, though. Lucha Express gets better and better every single time. They have so much athleticism. Luchasaurus, to me, has a future. I don't know whether you can buy the whole Luchasaurus angle himself, but you've got two wrestlers here in Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy that, wow, they really have good chemistry. They're very entertaining, and they have good chemistry as well with Omega and Hangman Page. I could see them wrestle more times because it's just that entertaining. And, you know, right now, you know, there's not a hotter team in the company than Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, and they continue to get win after win. Another impressive victory here. You know, just what exactly do you think is the state of who will be the next opponents for Kenny Omega and Hangman Page?
They're the sexy team, Joe.
Exactly.
They're the sexy team. Whiskey and milk. It's a deadly combination. Deadly, disgusting combination, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Something that we would probably thought, oh, it'd be nice to see Adam individually win a title on his own. And Kenny, he's the best bat machine. He's the cleaner. He should be the AEW champion. I kind of am a little down if it ever stops, because I kind of like this combination between the two of them. I think it works really well. And I would be a little disappointed if it ends sooner than later. But you asked me who's next in line. It's got to be. I mean, they're toying with it. They're teasing it. It's eventually going to be the Young Bucks, Jeff. It's going to be them. And probably one of the classic matches, all the stakes up really high for them, because they've set the bar so high for themselves. Kenny and Adam have set the bar so high on themselves individually. Now as a tag team, they have this new newfound level of competition and wanting to be the best team out there. I get that feeling from them when they're out there together working. And, you know, the Young Bucks want to be known as, hey, we are the focal point. We are the standard bearer. So for four individuals that know each other really well, that's a scary combination. Scary in a good way, because it's going to be a treat for us, the fans, to watch it. But my goodness, that to me is the moneymaker to make. Because other teams right now, you have some really good teams right now in the tag team division. And I got to say, another team out there, I would have to say Santana and Ortiz. I would like to see them get more involved. We haven't seen a lot of them in tag team wrestling. I know they're busy.
They're busy throwing.
With the two losers, I know. I get it. Exactly. With the two losers, I know. But come on.
Stuff in the shower and putting bleach on it and stuff like that. They're too busy with that.
They deserve to be in that ring to work with the Young Bucks. They should be in there with Kenny and Adam Hangman Page. And that's in my opinion. I think they'll be, if it's not the Young Bucks, it should be Santana and Ortiz.
So the main theme of the night was tag teams. And in the ring, you got probably a generational difference of tag teams. And you could easily say that they're the very best of their eras. You had FTR in the ring. You've got the Young Bucks. You got Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. I personally love them, man. Great episode on Talk is Jericho with them, too, so go check that out as well. Talk about their Horseman days. And then you've got the Rock and Roll Express, man. The longevity of the Rock and Roll Express, man. I think they were the NWA Tag Team Champions at one point recently on the NWA show. We hope that show comes back soon, NWA Power. So hopefully that comes back to the fold. But this is a team that's been wrestling for 40 years, Trendsetter, and, you know, there's no end in sight yet of when they're going to stop, which is a good thing, because, you know what, do this until whenever, man. If this is what you love, do it at 50, do it at 60, and if you can still do it at 70, God bless you, man. But it's good to have those tag teams in there, and Tully was very pissy, Trendsetter, because
I was about to say, was he like that on the podcast? Was he
he was a stir, man. He really was basically saying, hey, listen, there's no titles within this group of guys right now, so, you know, Tom Brady is the GOAT because he's won championships. There's none in the ring here, so you guys really can't talk. And then there was a scuffle where everyone got together. Arn Anderson left because he was like, Tully, where you going with this stuff, man? Not right now. Arn just wiped his hands out of it. There's a scuffle between the Rock and Roll Express and Tully. And then, you know, one of the guys of FTR hurts his leg. I still can't tell him apart. I'm going to say one of the guys because it's the bald-headed dude. I still don't know when they were in WWE. I had no idea who was Dash and Dawson. I still don't know to this date. So I'm going to say the bald-headed dude because I don't know who's who, okay? And
so good.
They attack Ricky Morton, and they pile-drive him.
Is he the blonde guy, the brunette guy?
No, I know Ricky Morton. Ricky Morton's the blonde.
Oh, man.
Robert Gibson is basically Ricky Morton was Sean, right? And Robert Gibson was Marty Jannetty, but the sane one. You know what I mean?
They didn't kill anybody. Promo
and oh,
that's a difference.
Oh,
then supposedly, man. Then supposedly.
Yeah, not laughing at it, but still kind of weird there, Marty.
Man.
So FTR now, are they showing their true colors? Because the Young Bucks were kind of taken aback by what happened, and I get you. You're frustrated. You know, your knee is kind of, you're on a bum leg. Incidental contact. It happens. We're in the wrestling business.
I don't think he had a bum leg. I think it was all planned, man.
And you saw, you know, a little bit of FTR kind of being like, oh, maybe they're not who we think they are. You know, so,
yeah, well,
so
I never thought they were what they were. I mean, again, this goes back.
We are who they thought they were. Yeah, we let him off the hook.
This goes back to the same scenario, man. It goes to the fact that some teams are just better.
I say it myself, right? Way. I had no idea where I was going character. With that.
Yeah, just a certain character.
You're looking at me like,
And they play really well to being the ones you hate. It's hard to cheer for FTR because, hey, you know, you want to say FTR to them all the time. And they're great at doing that. And we knew this wasn't going to last long because eventually something was going to drop. I think this was the showcase of what was going to happen. Listen, we conned the Elite. We conned the Young Bucks to think, hey, we're for them. Nothing personal. We know everything you guys said on being the Elite was all jokes and hearsay. It's water under the bridge. No, it is personal. They take it personally. It was an attack on them via YouTube and the Twitter sphere, and now they're coming back to showcase to the Young Bucks that they're not even on their level. As for Tully Blanchard, man, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, basically, right? When you talk about the Blanchards, basically. But, what was crawling up in his underpants? Was he wearing his underwear backwards or something? I have no idea. Because here's the thing. This is what I would argue with Tully, because he was in a fickle mood, really. He was so fickle. And I was like, okay, yeah, we're not champions. What belts do you have? You know, because back the belts you have right now, they're all you know melted down. Obviously, for
his own client, Sean Spears.
Your client, Sean Spears, you know, couldn't get him close to a replica belt from a toy store, basically.
Oh.
And you know, because they're all sold out. That's what I meant.
Let me tell you.
But ultimately, look at all the titles they've won accumulative. The Young Bucks from all over the world, mm-hmm. and what the success that that FTR has had too. So don't tell me, Tully, that these aren't champions and these aren't one of the best teams. Just because I have titles on them right now doesn't mean they're not one of the best teams out there. So that's what I have to say about that. But talking about, you know, the toys. That's a little sour spot for you, Jeff, but I know. It's just hard to give even a replica title right now because everything's sold out.
Every Walmart I went to in this town does not have one. Well, they have the ring. They have the replica ring, and they have that toy AEW title. But heaven forbid they have an action figure. It's nuts.
Which one would you get?
It's nuts.
Which one do you want?
Jericho. Okay. Jericho would be one, and Kenny Omega would be two, and then Cody three, and the Bucks. But man, it's like not even Christmas. Like they should have decided to bring these out during Christmas time.
Are you kidding? There'd be nothing left.
That's what I'm saying. It'd be the same thing now.
Like
you're thinking some of these towns we're at. We're like none of these kids watch wrestling. You know, it's not. You know, it's like. I mean, we went into the. I'm not even gonna be honest, man.
You're a grown man looking for action
figures. I'm 40.
Exactly. You're looking for action figures.
And then I said to myself, when we left. The Walmart. I was like, "What am I doing?" I was like, "What am I doing?" I'm.
It's still real to you, damn it.
I mean, my last year of being in my 30s, and I'm going around not wasting my time because these are good figures, man. Everyone's selling them out, whatever. But I'm going there for action figures, for wrestling figures, and I'm like,
"Are you gonna play with them?"
No, because now the thing is to keep them in the boxes and stuff like that.
That's the thing.
And screw you, the people that are buying these in bulk and then selling them on eBay for $60. Go to hell. How about that? You can go to hell.
Well, you're saying that because you didn't jump on that.
Kiss my left butt cheek. How about that? Ooh. Go to hell, guys, because that is ridiculous, man.
That is a lot of cheek right there.
It's like those people when before that AEW, they were buying all the AEW tickets and the selling them. I mean, you guys grow up, man. Enough,
that's,
man.
That's,
we're
that's
in a freaking
the hustle,
pandemic.
Man.
Stop. Oh man. Sorry, Matt. But anyway, it's just my frustration coming out there. But anyways, the AEW figures are really good. So if you can get them, definitely sell them for $100 or for something like that because that's what they're going for. But back to the main event here, and this is why we're all here. I told you last week, Trendsetter, that we were building up for Orange Cassidy to be this brand new star. Mm-hmm. And Chris Jericho did a tremendous job. Chris Jericho action figure. That's why I'm getting his figure first.
Yes.
Chris Jericho made Orange Cassidy today, and that is why Chris Jericho is the best one out there. No ego, man. No ego. The man's had a 20-plus year career, and for him not to have an ego and build a star the way they've been doing it week after week just shows you why it's working here, why in AEW you're building stars and why in WWE you can't, right? So kudos to Chris Jericho. Very good match. Orange Cassidy, very underrated. We've said this before. Who would have thought that his gimmick would stick? We saw it on Independence, and we were like, oh, man, okay, this is whatever it is. He gets signed by AEW. If there were fans, I wish there were fans here tonight because the fans would have gone crazy because of the storyline that was so well done, and it wasn't even for a championship. And just imagine if it was, and that's what's going to lead down the road because it's building stars and making them worth it so that you want to see them again vie for a championship, and then you can see this match again for the AEW World title. But right now, job done. well done. Orange Cassidy is a legitimate, air quote, star.
Yeah, I mean, nothing more to add to that, but honestly,
I did it again, didn't I? Sorry about
that. Yeah, no, the only downfall is basically we didn't have an audience there. The audience, you know, when you think about these moments right now, they're being created on television because we're in this day and age, Jeff, where it's like, you know, everything. We're doing AEW, we're doing SmackDown, though, you know, people are talking about Impact and stuff like that. So, you know, there's always something on there more than there's ever been before. So there are these special moments, but now, unfortunately, during the pandemic and the situation we're currently in society, it's really difficult to capture that moment and give it the justice that it deserves. Mm-hmm. You know, Cassidy beating Chris Jericho clean, 1-2-3, was a huge step and elevation in Orange Cassidy's career. Although he'll keep a straight face, so I'm sure in the back of the locker room, he'll be jumping up and down and bawling his eyes out while his sunglasses on, because that's a huge, huge favor that Chris Jericho just did for him right there. And again, we've complimented Jericho enough, don't need to do it now. But again, it goes back to the point that I think you and I talked about even when we did the very first episode of this. It was basically that AEW, what they're doing right now is they're taking established talent, which we know already. They're going to be there for a little bit. Jericho, you know, who knows how many more years he has left in it. He's definitely going to try to live.
Hopefully he lives.
He's going to try to live for a long time, of course. But he's going to try to,
make stars.
Not just make stars, but to work through his contract, however long it is. And who knows if he resigns to go further than this. I don't even think Chris Jericho expected to wrestle at this stage in his career, in this stage in his life. But ultimately, knowing that the newer stars and how you make this company last for the next 5, 10, maybe 15 years is individuals like Orange Cassidy, Jungle Boy, Scorpio Sky, MJF. That's how you do it. And I think this was just a great showcase of that's what AEW is doing really well. You know, it doesn't hurt Chris Jericho as much as they said in the promos. How would it say if Chris Jericho loses to Orange Cassidy? A gimmick and a character that nobody would give a shot, that was more just for laughs, has now reached this point in a company where he's now legitimately considered a top star. And it was all done by AEW's creative and Chris Jericho.
Yeah, the scrum there where Best Friends and Santana Ortiz are up on the ramp. You got Hagar, who came in there, chokeslammed Orange Cassidy. He was able to kick out of a Codebreaker. And then you also saw Chris Jericho try to land the Juice Effect, but Orange Cassidy got the best of him and cradled him up for the win, 1-2-3. And again, star is made in Orange Cassidy. You're probably going to get to see the future of what will be another tag team rivalry between Best Friends and Santana Ortiz. We'll see where it goes, but that looks like a matchup that you'll see at All Out. So you got to see the new TNT Championship fully done. I guess I know why you wanted to debut the TNT title, because you had that matchup with Lance Archer. You had Lance Archer as well, getting a little scuffle there, and cost Jake Roberts there a little shirt. You know, but we'll see what happens. You know, there. It's a very frustrating
Lance
time
Archer
for Lance Archer.
Has done a lot of crazy, sick things in his wrestling career. Some disturbing things that I don't even want to talk about, because it just makes me almost want to vomit in my mouth. But nothing ever made me feel more nauseous, more disgusting. And no, I don't have symptoms of COVID-19.
I hope not.
But to rip Jake Roberts' shirt open. Hey, your credit. Jake's in really good. He's in better shape than I would give him credit for.
Yeah, he's not
beyond
the mat,
yoga. Exactly. It has helped out, but why do that to us? Wow. Why? Come on, man. I know we're the demographic that can handle it. We've dealt with, you know, thumbtacks and blood and barbed wire, but come on. Enough's enough, AEW. You have to draw a limit. Hashtag keep the shirt on. That's all I say.
Well, besides that, it was another good night for AEW. Again, I have no reason to watch or click the channel to NXT. I'll catch it on the other side, but we'll be back with you guys for the
and let's see the recap.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
The NXT recap.
Yeah. So exactly, you can catch the NXT recap here again. So, you know, AEW, WWE, NXT, you can catch all here on the unofficial WWE podcast, as well as us coming up with the SmackDown review. We will try to get through SmackDown this week. Hopefully, it's a little bit better as they head into SummerSlam. So we got all that upcoming for you guys, too. You got great talent here on the show. Again, we want to thank Matt for giving us the opportunity to cover AEW and WWE SmackDown. Trendsetter, another episode in the books. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the Trendsetter, Brian Berger, who is about to give his ultimate A-plus closes here as I get ready to put my headphones down and party, because it is my birthday this weekend. So Trendsetter, you can say happy birthday to me. You can have the fans of the WWE Unofficial Podcast say, you know, happy birthday. But the way you can show me a happy birthday, the best gift you can do is follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Going to give you 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Give us a follow, and that would be my birthday gift from all of you, is to follow us on all our social media, Instagram and Twitter, Trendsetter.
Yeah, and make sure you follow us on YouTube as well. Our other shenanigans are on there as well, and more content to keep you guys entertained. As we're done with this episode, we'll be back next week, and Jeff will be another year older. After that, him a happy birthday, and guys, wishing you guys a lovely weekend. Enjoy the last weeks of summer as they happen, and you know, before you know it, we'll be talking about the results and leading up to All Out, which will be exciting, guys. A lot of memories there. Unfortunately, it will not be the same as it was last year, but at the same time, we're going to try and enjoy it with you guys. So that's it for us. The Jersey Red Crew, for my tag team partner, the Scoundrel Jeff Marr, and I am the Trendsetter Brian Berger. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the HSP AEW Dynamite Recap. And if you haven't figured it out by now, then you are sorely, sorely behind. We do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you. The crew. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Don't touch your eyes. Yeah, thank God this show's over because my cell phone died.